Raja Shehadi is a Palestinian lawyer who lives in Ramallah. He's the founder of the human rights group Al-Haq. He's also written a memoir called Strangers in the House, Coming of Age in Occupied Palestine. It's partly the story of his father Aziz. He, too, was a politically active lawyer. Back in the late 60s, Aziz Shehadi was one of the few Palestinians calling for a two-state solution. It was not a popular position. In fact, a Palestinian radio station in Damascus denounced him as a traitor. Steve Paulson talked with Raja Shehadi about his father and the conflict between the Israelis and Palestinians.
There's a very poignant scene at the beginning of your book where you and your father are standing in the hills of Ramallah looking out at the distant lights on the coast. And this is the area where your family used to live. And then your father comes to realize that these lights actually come from the new city, the new Israeli city of Tel Aviv. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, I was born after the 1948 Nakba, the catastrophe, as we Palestinians call it. And I was born in Ramallah, which my parents came to simply because they had a summer house in Ramallah. Their home was in Jaffa, and they were forced out. And I grew up always being told that Ramallah is not really much of a place. It's Jaffa which is the good place. All I could see of Jaffa were these lights in the horizon.
Can you tell me about your father's reaction then when he realized that those lights actually were not from Jaffa, this beloved city where he used to live?
My father, like most other Palestinians, continued to believe after 1948 that a time would come when we would be able to go back and sort of pick up from where we stopped, and we would be able to regain our rights and properties in Jaffa and so on. And when the war of 1967 took place, of which we were only a passive participants because we did not take active part in the war, we didn't have an army of our own as Palestinians, he was hopeful, as all the Palestinians and Arabs were hopeful, that the Arabs would be able to have a military victory over the Israelis. And then when the war ended so dismally, and he went back and, as you have said, realized that the lights that he had been seeing were not at all the lights of Jaffa, but of Tel Aviv, which was a big, thriving city, he realized that we Palestinians have to come to terms with the existence of the State of Israel, and we have to make peace. And if we continue to postpone this, we would continue to simply lose more. So he proposed, as early as 1967, a resolution of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict based on a two-state solution. And for this, he had to suffer a lot, and I had to suffer a lot as the son of a father who was considered as saying what is tantamount to treason, really.
Now, you have a very interesting personal history. I mean, you went off, I believe, to the American University in Beirut. You later studied law in London, and then you went back to work in your father's law practice in Ramallah. You were the first Western-educated lawyer to come back to the West Bank since 1948. Does that give you a different perspective than other Palestinians?
My legal training was very helpful because it enabled me to see what was taking place sometimes earlier than most people did, because the Israelis are very legalistic. So everything that they did, they prepared for by passing the enabling laws. And by following the laws in form of military orders, I could sort of see in advance what they were up to. And then, of course, I think the fact that I'm a writer and I've written this memoir, which was a very, very difficult piece of writing to do, I think this has made me able to react to things and to resolve certain things, which in many other people remain unresolved. So, I mean, you know, one never completely overcomes one's anger, but you can learn to deal with it better. And I think the writing has helped in that way.
Have relations between Israelis and Palestinians changed a lot over the last decade?
Yes, of course, because Israel itself changed. I mean, we have had different governments in Israel, and that, of course, makes a big, big difference. But we've had long periods when the two sides, well, actually, it's only in this last period, in the last decade, that there has been a physical separation between the two sides, because now the area is sealed off, so the Palestinians cannot drive into Israel freely. But this was not the case for the first 20 years.
So how has that changed things, now that Palestinians can't actually go into Israel?
You know, I think it has made very important changes, because when Palestinians were able to work in Israel, have business relations with Israel, go to Israel for entertainment, go to the beach, go to restaurants, it was possible for Palestinians to meet with ordinary Israelis. Whereas now the only Israelis that a Palestinian would meet, and there would be, I would imagine now, people in their 20s whose only experience of Israelis are Israelis in uniform, either Israelis as soldiers or Israelis as jailers and torturers. So the Israeli becomes not a real person anymore.
Are you suggesting then that the culture of the suicide bomber partly as a result of this? I mean, the sense that so few Palestinians, especially young Palestinians, actually know any Israelis other than those they've seen in uniform.
I'm sure that has something to do with it, although, of course, it doesn't fully explain it. But I think the despair in which some people find themselves and the lack of hope in a better future could be behind why some people resort to the extreme measure of thinking death is better than life, which I think is the most extreme possible position that you can take.
What's your sense of what most Palestinians in the occupied territories think about the suicide bombers? Is there general support for these people?
I think that the majority at this point realize that both on moral and political grounds, the suicide bombing have done only harm. I have another book which I wrote on the invasion, last invasion of the occupied territories, and it's a diary of my period in Ramallah during the invasion. It's called When the Birds Stopped Singing. And in one day, while I was under this new occupation, a suicide bomb explodes. And I try to describe how, for a moment, it became that I, a Palestinian, and they, the Israelis, became equal in our suffering. And there was a sense that maybe glee or feeling of triumph that finally we are equal. And then suddenly you're lifted up in the air and then you crash down to the ground. As you see that the effect of this action is that old women, innocent people who are in the street are destroyed, their lives destroyed, their bodies shattered. And then you suddenly see people with whom you can identify as a human being and you realize, no, this is not right. This is not how I want it to be, you see. So I think there is a lot of anger and a lot of feeling that we have to do something to make them pay for what we suffer. And this drives many people to cheer when they see actions like that, but it doesn't go deep. And I think the majority of people at this point realize that suicide bombings are not the answer.
Raja Shehadi is the founder of the human rights group Al-Haq. His memoir is called Strangers in the House, Coming of Age in Occupied Palestine. He spoke with Steve Paulson.